Morning. While they're leaving, amen. It's good to see kids. You know, every time you know, God speaks something to your heart and you do it, God just comes in and does miracles. So, amen, amen, amen. If you're between the ages of 4 and 12, you can go to children's church. Let's all go. Come on. We don't want to be over 12, no. Amen. Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, shy. Oh, amen. Now, Janice, you 12. Look. Janice. How y'all doing, Janice? Hey, Janice. Hey, get in. How was Terry's birthday? I can mess with it. Oh, okay. Oh, all righty. Y'all have a good day. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we just pray that God's Holy Spirit would touch your heart and touch our lives this morning. This morning. Amen. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church last week. As you can see in your bulletin, we picked up $1,489.90. So thank you for being faithful in giving. You know, you might say, well, Pastor, what does that go to? That goes to everything. That goes to, we tithe as a church to another ministry. That's to pay for all the stuff of the building, children's church, everything, salaries and all that stuff. But thank you for being faithful in giving to the church. Let's see. Oh, just a matter of note to you, just to let you know, Jelaine and I and our family, we're going on vacation tomorrow. We're leaving tomorrow morning, and we're not coming back till Friday. We go on a Petagene or Petagene, if you want, however you want to say it, mountains in Arkansas. So we're going to be staying in a cabin that's on a cliff. So pray for us that nothing gives away, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, whatever. I don't want you to have to look for a pastor next week, you know. No, it is on a cliff, though. I mean, but it's beautiful. It's secluded. It's a cabin by itself with trees all the way around and mountains. And, you know, we're just excited to get away, just to go have fun and come back. We will be here next Sunday. Otis East is going to be preaching next Sunday. So pray for him that God would just give him the exact message that we need to hear, you know. So, But we look forward to going tomorrow, leaving, and having a good time. Having a good time. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before our God. Say, lift them up. Lift up your Bibles. This is the sword of the living God. My Lord. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today I'm going to be talking about the God that cannot fail. The God that cannot fail. The God that cannot fail. Well, let me put it to you this way. The God that cannot fail, or your God that cannot fail you. Your God that cannot fail you. And I want to read, this is a song that is being sung called The God That Cannot Fail. Because, you know, sometimes in the thick of things, you know, when things are getting a little rough, maybe sometimes or whatever, that, you know, we think, well, can really God come through for me? Can God come through for me? Can it really happen for me? But we're going to look at some scriptures, and we're going to look at a story, and I hate to say a story, but we're going to look at an event in the Bible where it shows that God cannot fail you, and He cannot fail me. This is the song. It says, "Well, I guess you've all heard the story. In the Bible, it was told about three Hebrew children and the idols of gold. Well, the wicked king commanded that every knee should bow to Baal. They said, 'Do what you must. We're going to put our trust in the Lord that cannot fail.' Well, they were bound and yet determined, as in the furnace they were thrown. But it didn't take long till the king found out they go in the furnace alone. When he came down to the furnace and he first leaned over the rail, he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the God that cannot fail. Oh, he's the great God Jehovah, so greatly to be praised. He's the God that will make us over every mountain and sin has raised. Out of all the gods been worshipped, there's a difference you can tell. He's the only one that ever gave his son. He's the God that cannot fail." Amen. Give him a hand. Praise God. Praise God. He's the God that cannot fail. The God that cannot fail. There was a Methodist Episcopal pastor called Willis Hoover. He was a devout man. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. He was very sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. He had offered himself to the Methodist organization to go to Africa as a missionary. And so, you know, they didn't have a place for him. So they called him one day and they said, "Look, there's a place in Chile we'd like for you to go." So him and his wife packed up everything they had and they moved to Chile. They got there, they started the church, they tried to do a work, they were just, you know, doing everything they can, praying, seeking God, talking to people about the Lord, you know, trying to get them to surrender to God. And, you know, they got it up to about 800 members in their church. And this was the early 1900s. But he knew there was something not right. Not that he had any gross sin or anything like that in his heart, but just something in his spirit said there has to be more than this. There has to be more of the Spirit of God. There has to be more of God. We need to tap into that source. And it says that he heard from the States about the Azusa Street Revival. You remember hearing about that in Los Angeles? And he heard about what was going on. And he said, "Look, I need to get a hold of what's happening there." And so he started to read the book of Acts. And he got to the place where it says that talking about the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came down on those 120 and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and started speaking in unknown tongues. And the power of God moved in that place like never before. He hungered for the Spirit of God. And he says that one day he went to church and he said, "People, we need to pray. We just need to pray. We need more of God. We need more of God's Spirit. We can't stay stagnant. We can't stay the way we are. We need more of God." And one thing I know, and I'll get back to this story, is that when people hunger for God, God comes in and fills that hunger. That's why we as a people, we as a church, need to stay hungry for the Spirit of God. Stay hungry for the things of God. Because we can become stale or stagnant or think we got it all. And with God, He's so big and so massive, there's no way one human being can take all of God. So they hungered and they had prayer and they started praying. And one day they were at church on a Sunday morning. And the pastor, Mr. Hoover, got up to preach, and the song just, they kept singing. And he says all of a sudden the Spirit of God just spoke to him and said, get on your knees. And so he just got on his knees and he lifted his hands, which is something you don't do in the Methodist church too much. Everybody say, yeah, okay. He lifted his hands. He closed his eyes. And he said all of a sudden it wasn't the usual thing of what the Methodists do in saying something and people responding back. But he said there was a river of praise and worship and honor that went towards God. He said he opened his eyes and it seems like he could see the river of praise coming forth out of the people. There was a hunger and a desire. He said people, you can read his autobiography, people started to get healed. Healing is still for today. Amen. Our God is not dead. Our God is alive. Your God is alive. Your God is alive. People started to get filled with the Holy Ghost. People started to get healed of depression. People started getting healed of all kind of things that the devil had thrown upon them. They were being released by the Spirit of God. God was coming in and touching their hearts and touching their lives like never before. Well, the big honchos in America found out about what was happening in Chile with the Methodist Church, and they called him in. When they call you in, you know you're in hot water. You know, every time I'll say, you know, as a pastor, I'll say, you know, I need to speak to you. I know the first thing you think of, what did I do wrong? Am I in trouble? And you know, most of the time, that's not even, I just, I didn't do it. Look, I love you guys. I love you. So they called him in. And they said, Pastor Hoover, is it true that people are raising their hands in church? He looks at all, I don't know, there's a bunch of them. And they said, yes, sir, it's true. Is it true that people are getting healed in your services at your church? I'm guilty. It's true. Yes. Is it true that people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in unknown tongues as a prayer language? Now that threw him over the top. Okay. Said, yes, sir. They looked at him and they said, you're released. You no longer belong to the Methodist Church. You know, I know the man probably looked, didn't go into that little too much, but I know it must have hurt some being rejected. But he looked at them and from the autobiography and he said, you know, it's true, but I can't turn back. Can't turn back. And it says that he went back to his home church and he had to rename the church and take out Methodists. But that's okay. In renaming the church, God blessed that church. God moved in that church and the power of God. You see, sometimes the ultimatums of man from hell itself will try to bring destruction upon you and I. But you know what? When we keep our trust and our faith in our God and what He can do and what He will do, God will bring us over and through the mountain. God will bring us over the mountain or around that mountain, however He wants to do it. But our faith and our trust needs to always be in Him, no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what people say, no matter what people do to you, no matter what we say or what we do to ourselves sometimes, because sometimes we throw a little water in our faith. But to keep our trust in Him, knowing He's the God that cannot fail. Knowing He's the God that will not fail you as we put our faith and our trust in Him. Now, He may not answer the way we want Him to answer, but He's the God that will never, ever fail His people. And He's the God that will never, ever fail you. Never, never, never. I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I know this is a familiar scripture to us, or a familiar story that probably all of us have read in Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the king over that province at that time. He was the king. That means whatever the king said, that's what happened. If he said, death to you or I, that's what happened. If he said whatever he said, that was law, no matter what. It wasn't a democracy like we have here in America. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Now, just looking at that first part of the first scripture, you can know that this man was not a godly king. Because why? Because it says that the king made an image of gold. That means he commissioned it to happen. That means he told his people, go and make an image of gold, a statue of gold, so we can what? Pray to it. That it can be our God. That we can have something to look at. Which we know from scripture is not good. Not good. Because we have a God that cannot be touched by human hands, but yet we have a God that can touch the human heart. We have a God that can touch us and change us and make us into people that people can't recognize anymore. You know, He can take us out of sin. He can take us out of those old evil ways. He can change our hearts and change our lives so that we're better people, or not, I hate to say even better people, we are godly people. Serving our God, serving our Lord. It says, and the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and breadth thereof 6 cubits. That means it was very tall. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Verse 3. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, I want to stop right there. You can keep that up, though. Nebuchadnezzar built this image of gold in the 18th year of his reign. It says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel had been in Babylon now nearly 20 years. They were captured and they were brought in. And they were there 20 years. But after 18 years of his reign, he told the people to go and build this image of gold. Now, can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel? They knew this image was being built. They know that God, that Nebuchadnezzar is said to be built, is being built. I don't know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel would walk by it or not. But I know they saw, everyone in that province, everyone in that land saw that it was being what? Built. Now, they didn't know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they didn't know what King Nebuchadnezzar would do with it. They didn't know that he would command everybody to bow before it and worship it. They didn't know that. But they saw it was being built. Verse 4. Put up verse 4, Andrew. Thank you. Then an herald cried out to you, it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, the psaltery, the climber, and all kinds of music, that you fall and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever or whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 7. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of all the instruments there and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image and that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans, talking about who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all those came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet and all the instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And we can stop right there. You can put 12 up. Here we see, and you know, it's a sad situation when a king builds an image and says that they all have to bow down and worship it. It's sad. We got to watch in our hearts and in our lives. I know we've accepted the Lord as our Savior and King, but we got to make sure that we don't put anything above our God. We cannot have our spouses before our God. We cannot have our children before our God. We cannot have our jobs before our God and any other extended family. And all those things are important, and God has given us that. But God always has to be number one. Always. Always. And it says that when Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and all the soundings of the trumpets and all the instruments played. Now, he gathered in a lot of people. They don't know the exact number because it doesn't say so in Scripture. But a lot of people came in. A lot of people came in. And it says that when all these instruments were blown, that everyone was to bow before the golden image. Now, can you imagine when the invitation comes in the mail to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, or Daniel, somewhere's wrong, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they look at this thing and they say, okay, we're invited to this thing. We have to go. And here they gather with all these people, the gathering. And all of a sudden, the music starts playing. Which God is the author of music, number one. And all praise and glory and honor should go to Him. Do we know, you know, we're the only Christian organization, if you want to put it that way, religion, however, that has a songbook called the Book of Psalms. No other major religion does. You know why? Because their gods are not worth worship. Our gods are. Our God is. We're the only ones that have a book of Psalms in the Bible that is, those are songs that were sung to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The only religion is Christianity that has that. Because He's the only one worthy of worship. As the trumpets were blown, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all these thousands of probably people were there. Everybody falls to the ground in worship. Everyone does. Except three. It's hard to stand alone sometimes, even when we know it's right. It's hard to stand alone sometimes on the job, huh? When you know, something said or done that's not right, but to stand firm. You know, the other day, I work at the post office. And so, you know, with this lottery thing going on, there's a bunch of, you know, there's a lot of money, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Huh? And so, personally, I don't buy tickets. I don't do that stuff. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I do. That's okay. I mean, whatever. Whatever you feel. I just don't. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right to gamble. And so, you know, they all put in $5 in, and I heard it, and I thought, oh, Lord. Well, you know, I'm doing my stuff, and a guy comes. He says, do you want to help and give and we'll have all these tickets? I said, no. I said, I don't do that. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. They've never asked me again. Good. And honestly, I could have done it, and you'd never know. But God would know. Yeah, that's right. And that's the difference. God would know. God would know. See, I don't want to use my money towards stuff that's not good. And so we have to stand for what is right. I didn't have to, after that, I don't have to say anything. They don't come ask me. They don't ask. But it sheds light on the darkness. Saying, look to your God for your finances. Look to your God that can help you to stand. And it's hard to stand alone when you know people are saying, oh, look, they don't do this. But you know what? We have a God that will never fail us. Never, never, never. We don't have to stoop down. We've changed our partner. We're not with the enemy anymore, oh, Slewfoot. We're with our God. And that makes a difference. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing there, and that music started to play, and everyone bowed except those three. Now, I want to tell you this. I know there had to be more than three Christians there, if you want to say it that way. I know. But yet they bowed to something else. And it says that the king heard or got wind of the three Chaldeans that didn't bow to the God that he built. It says that anger was in him. He was enraged with anger, saying, how dare they defy what I say? That's one thing. I'll try to obey everything with the government. I mean, I get everything that I... But if it's against God's word, like abortion or other things, that's different. That's different. That's different. We have to stand for what is right. And so they stood and they got... And Nebuchadnezzar got wind that the three Hebrew children or the Chaldeans stood up. Look, let me tell you, we serve a God that will never fail us. They didn't know. We know the ending of the story of what happened. But they didn't know that that God would be with them that day. When you stand for what is right, not trying to throw your beliefs on someone else, but just standing for what is right. We don't realize that our God is with us. Our God is in us. Our God is moving things and getting things to happen on the outside. They didn't realize as they stood up there that their God, the Son of God, would be with them in that furnace that day. Can you imagine? When the heat rises, that our God is with us. He will never, ever fail us. And the king said, who are they? And he brought the three up to him. The king, so mad at what they've done because they defied the king. And really, in those days, the king thought he was basically almost a god. And he was saying, how can you defy me? And it says in Scripture that he says to raise the furnace heat seven times of what it is. Now, it's already hot. How much hotter do you want it to get? It will burn them. It will cremate them. It will destroy them. You have to go set. So you know he was upset. Remember the times when you get upset. How we go overboard on some things. And our God has to come and correct us. You know, we all get upset about certain things. And that's just the Spirit of God has to work in us and get us right. And so here... He says, seven times hotter. Now, do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, flesh just like us, men like us, mankind, they heard what the king said? Do you think they got scared? When we stand for what is right, we may get scared. Fear may come in. But always remember, your God will never fail you. Your God will never fail you. Your God will never fail you. Your God will never fail you in what's happening in your heart and in your life. And it says, you know, I was reading on when he said seven times hotter, and in the Bible that I have, it says that they seem to think he said seven times hotter because the Babylonians believed there was only seven planets, and those seven planets had seven gods. And so to appease every god that they believed there was, he had it heated up to appease them. But they didn't realize that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served the living God. That was over and above seven. Was the work of completion. And it says that they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and they threw them in that furnace. Well, they bound him up, first of all. They bound them up. And it says that they took strong men to come and bind them up. That means they wanted to make sure that they couldn't get loose. Couldn't get loose. And that's what the devil will try to do. He'll try to bind you up with things of this world, guys. But I tell you, God will keep us free from those things. The devil will try to bind and bombard our minds, our hearts, our spirits. But your God is the God that will never fail you. He will never fail you. He will never let you be destroyed. He will never let horrible things happen if we turn to Him. Turn to Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. They bound Him up and they threw them in. My heart hurts for those three guys today when I think, if somebody came to us today and said, look, if you deny Jesus today, you can go. But if you don't, we'll bind you up and throw you into a furnace that's heated up seven times hotter now. What will we do? I believe all of us would stand up for the King of Kings, though. I believe it. Not that we wouldn't be scared. Not that we wouldn't have fear in our hearts, because the flesh hurts. They threw those three guys in. It says that it was so hot that the guys that opened up the furnace and threw those three Hebrew boys or men into the furnace died. It was hot. But there was somebody in the fire waiting for them. And let me tell you this, there's somebody in your fire waiting for you. That's your God, your King, your Lord, that will never fail you. He's waiting. When the old slew foot puts up the temperature of heat, of fire, it seems like, you know, every day you wake up and you turn, there's something new that is happening that is bringing turmoil or discouragement or something like that in our hearts and in our lives. God is there saying, I'll be with you. Trust me, I'll help you. Trust me, I'll help you to get through it. And you see, through those times of when the heat is being turned up, through those times, we know that our God will bring us through. And it seems like when we get through it, our faith in our God is stronger than ever before. Because of who He is. Because of He's a God that will never, ever fail us. And it says that they closed that furnace door. In front of all the rulers, the sheriffs, the counselors, all important people. In front of all these politicians, all these important people. It says the king looks in there and says, didn't we just throw three? And they said, yes. There's a fourth man in there. And it is the Son of God. Now that's amazing that he even knows that it's the Son of God. Look, that excites me. Because I can rest assured that no matter what happens in my life, you can rest assured no matter what happens in your life, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is there with us. No matter what the devil may throw from the outside, no matter what the devil may throw from the inside, no matter what we throw at ourselves and going through sometimes, that our God is there with us. And He shall never fail us. And they looked in there and they saw fellowship with the King of Kings. How many times have we gone to prayer and we just sitting there and saying, Lord, we might kneel, we might sit, we might whatever, however you want to do it, doesn't matter to me. Just pray. And we feel down. We don't know what to do. We don't know what decision to make. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the living God just comes into that place. And we know it's nothing else but the Son of God, the Holy Spirit that has come to arrest us, that has come to take care of His people, that has come to help His children. My God! And we get up from there after we prayed and we feel different. There's something that has changed on the inside of our hearts because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has touched us. My God! They looked in that furnace and there's a Son of God walking. I wonder what they were talking about. I know if I saw the Son of God, that's the one I would bow to. They didn't bow to the other, Nebuchadnezzar's God, but I'm sure they bowed before Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, honoring Him. But I wonder what He told them. I wonder what He said. I wonder how He touched them. I wonder if it was Him that went and untied their hands and untied their feet, their ankles. I wonder if it was Him that took the ropes off of them, that bound them. You see, in the fire, when we think, oh, it's hot, and we've gone through some things, it's in that fire that God takes all those ropes and all those things that have bound us and made us people that maybe can't do what He exactly wants to do at that time. But it's those things through the fire that it melts those things away and we become free. Because you see, when they threw them in, they couldn't walk around. They couldn't praise God. They couldn't do anything. All they could do was lay there because they were bound by the ropes. But when the Son of God was in there with them, He looses us and frees us and we become free people to worship our God, to honor Him, to love Him. It's not wrong to go through the fire. It's wrong if we stay there and never come out. Because you will go through fire as far as things. But you see, we serve a God that can handle every aspect of our hearts and lives. Everything He can handle. And He burned those things off of them, however, or took them off. And it says, the king says, get them out of there. And those three Hebrew boys or men walked out of that furnace with no ropes on their hands or their feet, free. And a decree went out that no one was to say or do anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And He even gave them authority over certain areas in His province. My God. He said, look, if anybody says anything against their God, they're to be put to death. Now, whatever the king says, that's what goes. And I thought, well, king, why don't you praise God now? After what you saw. And tear that thing down, melt it away, and make some wedding rings with it or something. I don't know what. Whatever. Sell it. Destroy it. That image. That's the kind of God we serve, people. A God that will never fail us. And I know old Slewfoot will try to tell us that God can't do certain things. Don't ever believe what he says. Don't ever believe what the enemy says. Only believe what this book says. What this book says. That's right, Dolores. This book. That's right. This book. This book. In Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 18:10 says this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. There's no safe place but under Him. There's no safe place, guys. There's no safe place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, us, we're right, righteous, run into it and is safe. We are safe unto Him. Your God will never fail you. Keep your knees on the floor and your nose in the book, and you'll never go astray from our God. He is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and He is safe. You see, a covenant has been made. You can keep that scripture up. A covenant was made between man and God. When Jesus died on the cross, that blood was a covenant with man and with God. God will always be faithful to you and to me. Always. God will always be faithful to us. It says that His faithfulness rises up into the heavens. He's so faithful. My God. Praise God. He is a strong tower that we run to Him and nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. He's a God that will never fail you. And I can go to all kinds of scriptures, but He's a God that will never fail you. He's a God that will never fail you. I want you to get up tomorrow morning and just say, Lord, You're a God that will never fail me. You're a God that will never fail me. I keep my trust in You, Lord. I keep my faith in You, Lord. You're a God that will never, ever fail me. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? You can put the last song on. He's a God that will never, ever fail. Oh, Jesus, Father, we give You praise. We give You praise and honor and glory, Lord. As this last song plays, does anybody need prayer this morning for something maybe in their lives or for someone in your family? If you need prayer this morning, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Look, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you and cares about you. If you would like prayer this morning, would you please raise your hand? I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Don't resist. I see your hand back there. Thank you. Anyone else? Don't resist the Spirit of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? If you've raised your hand, would you please walk up if you can? If you can't, we'll get with you in your seat. Okay? Okay? If you've raised your hand, just come on up. Just come on up. You can just sit right. I know.